Oh wow, this is awesome. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And we have guests, Aaron C. Donahue and Jennifer Sharp.
And we thought it's so important to let Aaron get everything he wanted to get out. We're going to keep this going. And what's going to happen is we're going to include this in the archive. So it's going to be a very long archive.
Yeah, so this is an extended This is an extended hour of Ghostly Talk. It's being aired live on Pioneer 2.
Pioneer 2,
which is the dial-up stream.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are live.
We're live. We're going to continue.
We're going to continue until we get all the information
out.
Because this is important stuff.
It's very important
stuff. This is the human race. This is our future. This is, or lack thereof. This is the institutions that have been created over the centuries that are just so wrong. We're talking about them right now. And Aaron, Jennifer, welcome. And sorry we had to go over like that, but hey, you know, this will make it to the archives. And most Ghostly Talk listeners do download the archives. That's how they listen. So we're going to have like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. It's still going to get out.
Well, wonderful. And the message about Lucifer must get out, and it will. And I've worked very hard to crack through popular media to do it. It's great to be on your show here. And Jennifer, do you want to speak
sure.
a few things?
Basically, there's this concept that Lucifer is, like, evil and, you know, and it's going to take your soul. And it's kind of a funny thing because Lucifer is, you know, it's got this bad rap. And why? It's an irrational fear. When you talk to people about Lucifer, they immediately shudder. And it makes you kind of wonder why. Just bringing the name up makes people uneasy. Now, what is that? And that's an irrational fear. I think it's because there's somewhere in their subconscious they know this is a real entity, and they know that it has something to do with them. That's one theory. And the other theory is that it's severe programming, telling them how evil this thing was and never, ever to listen to it. This is the thing. Now, Aaron talks about, angelic possession, and, of course, that's a huge problem. People have this idea that angels are good and that Satan is evil and Lucifer is evil. You have to really ask yourself, okay, like Aaron was saying earlier, that the earth is dying. There's a huge problem with consciousness, and if angels are guiding most people, then, there's an example right there of what's perceived as good and evil. I think that you're being lied to. An entity that tells you to overpopulate your planet and cut down trees and burn fossil fuels, I think is harming you. And I think an entity that's trying to show you Venus and is basically going, this is what your planet's going to look like, you need to do something about it, is basically, good. But it's just, a different concept. It's a different idea, and it's a different level of truth. And it's really uneasy for people to accept or to listen.
Right, it's taking, people are taking preconceived notions. And this is a human thing, this is a human trait, because people do this, this is what you do. Like when you meet somebody for the first time, if they happen to look like somebody you disliked in the past, you've got to overcome this kind of thing. So people will have to overcome preconceived notions. But at the same time, people also have to start with a definition. Because I don't know for a fact yet that we're talking about the exact same thing. Is Lucifer this devil person from Christian mythology? Is this just an entity that's out there? Like, is there a god, a Yahweh, this one with the long beard, and Lucifer, this red-looking person with, are they fighting in the heavens? That's all Christian mythology. Are we correct or incorrect to apply those things to our what we're trying to learn about Lucifer and Luciferianism?
Let me make a clear distinction between the Satan, the Christian Satan, and Lucifer. Lucifer was certainly not, in the Bible itself, was not referring to a devil, but rather a person who was acting very much like a devil, so to speak. And long after the devil had been created as it's basically a human construct. It's not real. And so far as Satanism is concerned, my dear friends, the Satanists, I have to define Satan in my way as freedom. These are free people. You can't enslave them in any way. They are totally free. And that, in my book, is admirable. I have no problem with the Satanists. They clearly have no problem with me. By the way, Satan, when you remote view it, it turns out to be an idea. Lucifer, when you remote view it, turns out to be, and I've done it several times, in fact, the only way to truly reach Lucifer is through Pan, or the practical application of non-historical data. It's so advanced, we collectively don't have the intelligence to communicate with it. So we're going to have to use a workaround. That's going to involve a group of mathematicians and 100 men to match resonance with the 11 primary women. And I'm training the 100 men now. I'm beginning training now. And when they match resonance with the 100 or with the 11 women, these 100 men will create a situation in the hearts and minds of everyone outside of their awareness. The world over, you'll find people thinking about the earth again, thinking about their spirituality. You'll see them dropping their ideas about consumerism and the Western idea of having a refrigerator, an automobile, and boomboxes, whatever they're thinking. This materialism, it'll go away overnight. People won't know why they're thinking differently. They'll be looking at the beauty of the earth once again, and the beauty of their own soul.
And this happens just like a tree grows. Nobody actually does anything to do it. It just happens.
It happens naturally. And if you want to understand this, learn about it. I don't have time to go into it. It's a very short show. The 100 Monkey Theorem, where basically 100 monkeys were given soap to wash their tails prior to eating. All of a sudden, the world over, all of them will water for their food stars prior to eating them without being trained at all. So this is the idea, and it does work. And human beings all match residents with the truth. It'll be natural. The reason why you can have 100 Christians praying in a room, thinking on thought and matching, it doesn't happen, having almost zero effect, if any at all, on the world. That's the fact that they're not involved with truth. They're totally, totally bogus and false. That's all in line with the rules of nature. So what I'm doing falls in the line along the lines of the rules of nature. It is highly effective.
And you've already said that. Did you select the 100?
I have 266 men accomplished for the world over. And I'm still screening. Just one of these chapters helps. It's very difficult. So I have the 100 men to pick. I could use more because the screening process can help pick the most intelligent and the most gifted of people to do. And I really, I don't mean to offend anyone who might feel that they have the qualifications over another. But, you know, I can't possibly care because the problem of our anxiety is immense, so important. I have to choose to do this. I get my orders from the entity we'll call Lucifer, okay? Same thing has guided me and instructed me to do this with 100 men and the 11 women. And this is what I'm doing to save our future children. I also want to talk about the fact that there's no soul, by the way. I've looked at the soul carefully. We all share it. You have a body, and you have electromagnetic force, which is the glue of the soul. It transmits the soul at basically third trimester when you have 10 billion neurons firing simultaneously. Then the soul can be transmitted. You lose that. If you go below that threshold of consciousness, then your soul is not being transmitted. By the way, when we destroy our ecosystem, we lose our souls. I want to talk about the fact that there's a desperate act by scientists, computer scientists, and other people, very wealthy people, influential people, involved in technologies. There's a desperate attempt to transfer human consciousness into a computer matrix, if you will. When I remote view it, it looks like a soup of live cells. Now, a computer is not, it is not a neural net. One system goes down, the entire thing becomes ineffective. Whereas the brain, you can damage one part of it, and it can function, and it's not a static thing, it's fluid. So this is also fluid. These are cells. This is a type of technology. energy that is almost living, from my opinion. I'm not a computer scientist, so I'm only describing it to you the best I can, based upon my data. These are computer pods that are wrapped in some sort of titanium alloy, and they're buried in salt mines, you see, and they're also buried on the moon. And they're buried at some other space body. And I can't tell what that space body is, but it is relative to a satellite of some kind. Now, these pods all communicate with each other. And they are filled with memories of human consciousness. Now, in Arizona, I got to tell you about the death of the human soul and Arizona. While I was with the Hopi at Hota Villa, I was giving the Hopi the information about the missing Fire Clan tablet. I had a remote viewed that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, that's a whole other story, another show, believe me. Mm-hmm. At the time, while I'm remote viewing, there, this woman in a blue dress just blipped right up in front of me. And she had this shocked look on her face because she could see that I could see her. So naturally, I queued this up and remote viewed it, and I discovered Cyborg. I discovered some kind of computer matrix where these things have been locked in, and they're begging to die. They're begging us not to go down the path that we're going. They want us not to create the machines to put human consciousness into, because they know they've lost their soul. And what they're trying to tell you is what I'm trying to tell you, is if you destroy the Earth, if you kill the planet, you destroy your soul. You're going to lose your soul, humans. You're going to lose it if you destroy your planet's ecosystem, if you kill Earth before you reach what you were designed to reach. We are a system of information. We were supposed to reach 10 billion brains operating at 10 billion neurons in perfect harmony with our environment. Until the Earth has a lifespan. We had a lifespan. We were to reach that nexus. And we are not going to make it. The angels have won. We're not going to make it there.
Was it, I sense that perhaps at one time we were on that path. I mean,
we were at one time, yes, and basically the patriarch took over, Paul of Tarsus. It all began with Paul of Tarsus. Basically an angel, a classic abduction case where Paul was abducted, and the entity referred to itself as Jesus, and told Paul to start a new church, which we know as the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And we have a social criminal running it right now called the Pope. And this Catholic Church has been instrumental in the very seductive and sneaky destruction of the human race. It is it's been very influential in that. And I must say, I have to hand it to the Catholic Church. They've done an excellent job of destroying us. And this is not the only religion destroying us right now. We've got the Muslims. We got the Sikhs versus the Muslims. We've got just countless numbers of people whacked out with their religion, unable to accept the fact that the religion is false. I think everyone can feel it. And the thing that everyone's feeling about the end of times has nothing to do with this wacky idea of Planet X or this incredibly insane idea of Earth tilting. My data doesn't show that. I'm the best remote viewer living today. I don't see the Earth tilting 17 degrees, and I don't see Planet X smashing into us. It's a load of crap. What I do see is I see the human race, through its own stupidity, becoming extinct because of industrial pollution, because of wanton destruction of our ecosystem, because of overpopulation, because of our ignorance. Now, I'm guilty of ignorance as well, really. I have a lot to learn, and I know it. But at least I know these things, and I know what we can do to buy time. So we must work together in active non-participation to get the message out and to make a huge change and to accept the new chaos.
What's the delineation between, like, mundane, ordinary things, even in the paranormal world? It could be mundane, ordinary in the, you know, already recognized world or paranormal world, and important.
Thing before I answer that, because that's a very interesting question.
Okay.
I wanted to finish what I started, which was the fact that everyone's feeling something coming. They know something's wrong. They know something's wrong with their religion. They know Jesus didn't return. They know that the Buddha hasn't returned. They know that there's something desperately wrong. Everyone knows the Dalai Lama will never return to Tibet. Everyone knows there's something desperately wrong with our spirituality. Everyone knows it. They feel it. and they also feel something coming that's just terrifying them. Well, if you know something, you won't fear it as much. You know, I know what that is. I remote viewed it. I've looked at it using PAN. And I'm going to tell you, it is Lucifer rising. Lucifer is rising, and it's going to take its planets back. We are the sons and daughters of Lucifer. And the thing that you dread the most, the thing you've been programmed to fear the very most, is on its way. And you know it. You can feel it from the deepest core of your being. You can feel Lucifer rising all over the planet, in our youth, in our hearts and our minds. You can see it in our eyes. And it's systematic. There's nothing to be done to stop it. And the four great religions, their days are numbered. And you know, good riddance. I can't wait to see these false religions go away. Look, if we believe in the apocalypse, if we believe in an Armageddon so much, we can make it happen. Belief is very dangerous.
That's something actually that George Norrie has shown on Coast to Coast AM. He's gotten folks together to put, you know, belief into something or concentrate on something so hard that it seems to have affected change.
Oh yes, indeed it does.
So the
it's another process. It's called truth.
Yeah, and when the neurons all fire together as one in harmony with each other, it does appear to work.
If it involves truth, it can work. And like I say, let the truth come out in the end.
And the same thing with the after the 9/11 terrorism attacks, the New York State Lottery or something had come up 9/11 as well. You know, there's certain things.
When I began lotteries, 666 keeps popping up the very day. Jennifer, have you noticed that?
Yes, it is. It's a very strange coincidence. I noticed that.
Every time we start the lottery, we get 666. By the way, there is a subject.
Every time we start.
I know what 666 is.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Well,
every time.
Obviously, the numbers mean a lot more. Numbers are in everything. Right, because you're talking about not remote viewing future number, other number systems, historical future. It doesn't matter to these numbers.
Yeah.
That pretty much is everything. Is that every event, every physical place, every non-physical place. Everything is representable by number systems and these letter systems that we will be learning
for us. For us, access to the highest of information systems, or through Lucifer's gate, if you will, involves numbers. We must learn a new language. We must learn the language of angels, so to speak, for lack of a better way of describing it. I must say that we must learn a new language. We must attribute to these letters and symbols new ideas, new meanings. And this is our access to higher information systems. We are a system of information. The universe is a system of information. You know, bacteria in a petri dish is a system of information. Bacteria, we think of these prokaryotic cells in the primordial slime as being rather, without any sort of awareness or any sort of consciousness. Wrong. They communicate. They adapt. They reorganize their genetic structure, and they survive, and they learn. These organisms collectively are very smart. What makes us think that we can't know? What makes us think that a planet, Pluto, does not communicate with the sun, or the sun does not communicate with the Earth on a level that we cannot comprehend yet? It does. These are systems of information. And you want to know, we are being programmed for self-destruction. And there's a war in heaven, so to speak. I totally agree with the brain-dead Christians out there. There is a war in heaven. And it's over our existence. Basically, we are on the edge of total extinction. And I'm fighting to save a remnant of the human race. I'm not important any more than anyone else out there. I'm just saying, I recognize a problem here. And it's quantifiable. You look at the science, and people should be freaking out right now about how fast our Earth is dying. And it is dying. I remember years ago in Sedona talking to a group of people. I was giving a speak. I was speaking to some people there about our Earth's ecosystem and what I'm remote viewing and the problems that we have. And basically, they hissed me off the stage. They just refused to hear it. Said, "Oh, the Earth will always be alive, and it'll be alive long after we're gone." Long-o, the science now, definitely confirms the fact that we're slipping down a slippery slope. Earth is dying, and everything on it will be dead. And no, we're not coming back here. Anyway, back to your question about the mundane. Could you finish your question? Because I think I cut you off.
Well, what I was thinking is I guess it's it continues on what we've just been discussing, the interconnectedness of all things, and because you're talking about everything as an information system. But is the most mundane or the most ordinary thing, or in the paranormal realms, you know, super ordinary or paranormally ordinary, connected with or what makes it different than, like, in a what would be maybe considered by a trained, or not trained, but a brainwashed mind, an extraordinary thing or an important thing? Like, it would be important, right? It would be an important event if a UFO landed and asked, you know, to be taken to a leader, and then, you know, that would be important, right?
That won't happen. You know why?
Huh.
It's basically, we have to reach up to Lucifer, or to this entity, which has 72 tones to its name. I access all 72 tones through 72 forms of fear by facing them head on. Each demon of Solomon represented that fear. The reward, of course, was a tone. Anyway, as far as contact is concerned, we have to. It doesn't work that way. The idea of something coming down to save us, like the rapture mobile, Jesus floating out of the sky, and all these smoking shoes, just garbage. It's not going to happen. We need to stop thinking like that. Basically, we must reach up. We're like apes to this thing. Okay, this thing is so advanced. We must reach up to Lucifer
and get its attention.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's going to think of us as apes in a cage.
A failure, yes.
A failure, yeah. So, is every birth of every human an important event, or is it a mundane event?
Every birth of every human is an absolutely essential event, is neither important or mundane.
Okay. It is an event.
It's a pattern of information designed to facilitate higher information systems. Basically, we were designed in such a way that the universe, through our own density, could see itself through our own eyes. This is a way of gathering information. The universe is alive. There is an extreme system of information out there that we can't even begin to fathom. Through Lucifer's gate, I believe there's some technology that might be able to allow some of us to readapt to a new environment, that we may be involved with this technology to recreate, so that we can continue on to the 10 billion brain mark.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be an entirely different environment for us, and I see grass everywhere, basically. But that's another story.
But we have to take a huge
step. Well, the Eden Project is a whole other story.
Oh, wow. Well, first the...
That involves Adam Codman and the hyperdimensional beacon, which I now know what it is. For years, I couldn't figure out what the heck this thing was. They're everywhere. And they're all over the Earth during the time that the Earth is obviously dying, and people are starving everywhere, and they're eating chlorella and so on. But the hyperdimensional beacon is essential to contact, and at the right moment, basically, a genetic key, a person, it's called the Adam Codman, for lack of a better way of describing it, has a genetic structure in this person, and he's the key that unlocks communication with Lucifer. And he is involved with this hyperdimensional beacon, which opens Lucifer's gate. And I believe that might be symbolic of the 100 men matching resonance with the 11 women closest to Lucifer. I'm the closest of anyone on Earth today to Lucifer. I'm sort of this obsessimus where I'm like a bridge between the two. I'm like a ghost in the organization, the Luciferian order. And by the way, we have our symbol, which I remote viewed many years ago, which essentially is I wanted Jennifer to post it, but we decided not to. But some people have actually ascertained the symbol of our organization. And I actually sent myself a letter many, many years ago of a symbol that I had dreamt about, and I still have that unopened envelope. basically for legal reasons, I did that. And although at the time, years ago, I didn't know why. It was like back in the, like 1980 or something like that. I have to look at the postmark. But basically, the symbol involves it's symbolic of the worship of infinity, the worship of all. Basically, the worship of Nuit. And it literally doesn't mean that. I know what people are thinking right now, but basically, it's a very powerful symbol. And for me, who has worked profoundly with Pi, and I can see its applications in many things, zero and infinity are very important to my. It's very important to my work, and the relationship between all and nothing is very important. So basically, when you put those two things together. You find that symbol, by the way, will be all over the earth, all over all of our temples and our institutions will have that symbol.
With this,
our copyrights. Yeah.
This thing, though, the fall of the four great religions,
our trademark. I'm sorry.
Okay. The getting rid of the getting rid of the angelic influences and non-participation. This all is necessary to happen. For this next step, and I have a question here: the worship factor. Because you've said religion is false, or these religions anyway are false.
Like remote viewing, the four great religions are dead. It's just going to take time for people to smell the rotting corpse and accept it for what it is. And denial is the first stage of death, actually.
But is there a religion? Like, is there a worship? Should humans be worshiping? Like you said, Lucifer is an entity.
Unfortunately, people are so programmed, they're going to make the god of the human race Lucifer for a time until they further understand it. We have to let them make the transition on their own way.
But it really doesn't care. Lucifer does not care either way.
Does not want to be worshipped.
Does not want. Okay, so it's like, that's not my role.
It's beyond all that. It's beyond good and evil. It's beyond. Believe me, its intellect can't be measured. We're not smart enough to even begin to communicate with this thing. We have work to do.
Will there be a time
to make contact?
Will there be a time when some? I suppose we'll be former humans by then. understand this.
There will be. In fact, you're going to see it in your lifetime. You're going to see Lucifer rise in the hearts and minds of the young the world over. Especially the gamers are going to take to this naturally. They're all set up for it. They have their own mythologies. And they're plugged into it, and they're no longer plugged into the system, the old Aeon. They're plugged into the new Aeon very well. They understand chaos. They're very smart.
Well, I've noticed I was speaking with a friend of yours, and somebody had written an email, and it's really interesting how there's some mistakes. Are gamers also, like, because in these fantasy worlds, these games that they make, there's a lot of study and effort goes into making these things, and yet we notice some errors.
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect names of the demons, and by demons, I'm not...
That's absolutely fine.
Okay.
I've done my research with the demons that I'm using. And some of the names were incorrect while I was evoking the demon in my temple, and I had to do more research to correct the name. The name, as you see it, is the name that worked the best, exactly as it's spelled. Astaroth, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I had a heck of a time getting that name correctly, but when I got the name correctly, the name is like a vibration. And the entity itself will, in its own way, match resonance with that when you vibrate the name. I evoked, each demon had been properly evoked through a great deal of work. Once I felt the presence of each demon, I had, I did this after casting a circle. Inside the circle, I had my remote viewing table, and I took it up to stage 7, which involved stimulating the Wernicke's area of the brain. Auditory hallucinations, so to speak. And please understand that hallucination is a controlled situation.
I know there's a lot of people thinking, oh yeah, that's where you start seeing and hearing things.
You would not believe the strange things that occurred once I felt the presence. Oh my.
Wow.
It's just electrifying, incredibly spooky, unbelievably, in some cases, terrifying feelings. And everything from joy to lust to incredible, just intense feelings, other emotions of anger, all these things coupled together in extreme are associated with many of these entities, and these entities usually project themselves in a holographic image. They create myths for us. For example, the unicorn was created by a demon to teach the human race a new mythology. And mythology is essential to our psychological and ultimately physical evolution of the brain. This is what Lucifer was involved with.
How do people get, like, obviously we're on the lowest rung of the ladder, so you know, like, actually knowing Lucifer is obviously going to take some evolution, right?
Oh, you that's an understatement.
I
don't know why I'm chosen to do this. I've had a very, very strange life.
Is there, like, a way, like, is Lucifer, obviously Lucifer then, if you extend the, you know, that everything is an information system, is Lucifer an information system?
You bet it is.
Okay, a big, really complex one that we cannot begin to comprehend yet, right?
An information system that manipulated our DNA while we were primates in the Garden of Eden, so to speak. Lilith was the one before Eve, as we know from old stories. Lilith was described as being hairy, by the way. That was the original wife of Adam, Adam Codman. And the Tree of Life is actually the Kabbalah. Now, I have done intense studies of the Kabbalah. I understand the Kabbalah very, very well. And I'm going to tell you that Kabbalah and Lucifer in the Garden of Eden is a very important thing that we must know about our origins. Lucifer manipulated our DNA in the Garden of Eden. We left the Garden. We left our balance with the Earth out of choice, you see. We've chosen this path that we're on. Now we have to make another choice. Are we going to go extinct, become as if we had never existed? By the way, our consciousness, we cannot accept nothingness. Our brains are designed to look at a future in terms of existence. We cannot even begin to comprehend the idea of human extinction. There's no paradigm. There's nothing that we can do to prepare the human race for extinction. This is why you see pre-extinction behavior patterns out there. Really strange, really strange behaviors, where you have women waking up in the middle of the night, grabbing a baseball bat, beating their children half to death,
and like, driving off a bridge into the water.
Over and over again.
Yes.
And you're going to see a lot more of that as time goes on, because we're getting closer and closer to conscious awareness on a grand scale of a dying Earth. And we, with the human race, you humans, you're going extinct now. It's over. Can't stop it. We must make contact with our progenitor. We must get together, and we must work together. I must gather the brightest and best mathematicians, and we have to train them to access non-historical data. They must be practitioners of PAN, the practical application of non-historical data, and they must be proficient at this, and we must evolve this into something even more efficient in order to communicate with Lucifer. We have a lot of work to do, and, you know, we're spending billions of dollars bombing sand dunes in Iraq.
Yes, we are. And then rebuilding them after they're flat.
Yes.
Yeah. The
And I don't see a lot of effort going into solving this problem of our ecological collapse worldwide. In fact, I see governments denying it. Bush administration that still deny global warming. If you could believe that. Rush Limbaugh was one of them, but, you know, we discover later on that Rush had a drug problem.
Yes, he did.
Maybe that influenced the way he was thinking about our Earth. Huh? Maybe his mind was clouded a little bit.
I think he was on prescription drugs during.
Oh, big time. He's on one of the worst. It's like hillbilly heroin. This guy was.
Well, they
guy was on Oxy.
Yes.
Followed your reasoning big time. So that explains his view that global warming isn't real now, doesn't it?
But he's a very well. That's another thing. There's powerful people, right? There just really are in the current. institutions, whether it's religious.
Trying to prop up the old institutions, and they have a lot of support because everyone's freaking out because they know these institutions are crumbling.
Okay. Oh, I get it. Okay, because that actually answers the question before I even asked it.
I should wait to ask the question so the audience can see.
Well, that's the problem when you're talking with a psychic. You don't have to ask. No, what I was going to ask was, if we needed, if perhaps the mankind and the earth and everything related here, if they needed. Aware people aware of Lucifer, people aware of remote viewing, and people adept at viewing future or viewing number systems, things like that. If they needed these key people in these institutions, however, you answered my question by saying these institutions are crumbling anyway.
Yes.
So it doesn't really matter if the Pope ever. Reads your book or whatever.
Once this Pope passes on, the next one will be even more lame. It's over for the Catholic Church.
Well, that was predicted, by Malachi forever ago. And, two more popes. So, that's it.
Oh, yes, and I know the secret of the final pope, too. But that's another story. And Fatima, I know that. That's another program, the whole thing. But.
Oh, man. How are these things connected with, like, for example, I am just, I think, a human being trying to get by, right? And I think a lot of people who are listening are just a human being trying to get by. And we can, it's relatively difficult to not participate, but we can do it, right?
Fine art, yes you can.
We
can
vote.
The number one thing to remember as just a human being, you're not just a human being, you're essential. We are all essential. We're parts of a grand information system, and we must become aware of it, and we must evolve ourselves within it.
Do you become aware of it through things like, because I've tried to study, paranormal arts, and I've read occultism books, I've done all kinds of things, I've meditated. How do you become aware of your place? Of yourself. How do you become enlightened, I guess, I think as I'm asking?
It all begins, believe it or not, with something very simple and something that we all understand and can do. You must love yourself in order to best love others. Love is a very important information system. And this is where it all begins. A knowledge of thyself begins with loving thyself. You must love yourself in order to love others. Love is not conditional. The Christians teach that love is conditional. It's not conditional at all. And it's an internal process. The direction of love comes from within, not from without. You do that, and you'll find new systems of information opening up to you everywhere you go, and you're going to learn great things about yourself and how essential you are to the universe. And your place in it will be known according to your own will, and you'll be able to best practice your own will without bumping into other people, without getting in their way. You'll be amazed how you'll be able to describe to yourself new pathways or new options and new choices. We're supposed to have choice. Choice is a good thing. We've just made some bad choices collectively, and now we're going to basically do a front-end realignment on people. That's Jennifer's idea. It's a good idea. Basically, we're going to steer people back on the path. And whether you like it or not, you humans, your future path for your children is going to be with Lucifer. You have no choice. Now, that's coming, and this entity is not the boogeyman. It's not going to take your soul. In fact, your salvation involves Lucifer. And your destruction of your soul involves your former gods. All of the polytheists and monotheists out there, you're going to be severely disappointed in your gods. Because you'll be using your gods, and you'll be thinking about your gods, you'll be challenging Lucifer. It'll be in vain. And in the end, of course, we'll have the genetic diversity we need to save a certain remnant of the human race. These people will be on a certain path. And that path involves a gateway. The gateway that crawls culturally, we find evidence of this gateway all over the earth. Probably the most fascinating culture that I know is the American Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I find them to be very much in tune with this. They have their own way of describing it. But I think the Hopi describe it the best as spider woman's web. There in the center of that web is where you pass through, but you must be clean. In terms of the Kabbalah, this is represented by Bina, the extreme left-hand path, where you must be clean prior to entering Bina. So it's quite a severe thing. Love is severe. Loving yourself is very severe. It does not involve pity or mercy or compassion. These are lies designed to enslave you. Be free and understand the true nature of love. It's quite harsh, actually. This is probably one of the primary misunderstandings that people have about me. They find me to be most loving and most caring, yet I'm extreme.
That's what I was mentioning. You're very dramatic.
Well, novelty is the stimulus we need to work with, and the universe uses the same thing. I'm in tune with the universe in that respect, so I'm not really special in that way.
So what comes out of this? What, like, for example, you were silent. You were absolutely silent throughout the summer. So silent, you shut your website to one page, and absolutely silent, and you were working on all your stuff. What comes out of telling people this now? I know you're not doing it to make money, because...
That's for sure. No, I don't...
You already have your own...
I don't want their money. I want their help. In fact, we don't need money. We need independence from money. It's not money that we want.
It's the exact opposite. Non-participation with the economy as well. But if, for example, is when each and every person hearing this, right, when each and every person hearing this, when they hear this information that you've been telling us today, is it essential that they hear this? I mean, whether they understand it or not, but as long as they think about it and hear it and wonder about it, is that enough? Or do people really have to? I mean, I know people really have to take your message and act it in order to save the remnants of the human race. But I mean, how many people have to actually hear this knowledge and know this?
I only need 100 brains. With the demons, for example, the way I released them was very interesting. I needed 100 brains operating at basically 10 billion neurons firing simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point where I could release the demon. And by the way, I want to talk about possession. Possession is a normal way that the entity communicates with you. Your head will not spin around backwards. You don't spit out blood. You're not going to stab a cross into your vagina.
That's Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, that's just not...
You talked about Hollywood.
The Christians think. There's fear-based nonsense twaddle.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens here is you'll be influenced. And let it happen. It's okay. The demons are out, and they're learning how to use your nervous system. They're everywhere. It's a new system of information, and it's flowing now. Solomon didn't have the internet, basically Solomon could not gather 100 people to do this. He wasn't instructed to do so. I was. So I simply successfully, it was very hard work, evoked each demon, presented them as they wanted to be presented, using this thing behind locked glass. This display for all to see behind locked glass, as it was described, and that 100 specific brains who were genetically manipulated in such a way to match resonance with these demons, they would basically transmit this demonic energy the globe over. You know the 100 monkey theorem?
Right.
We needed 100 brains, and we got it right away. And it had immediate influence on the human race. And right now, it's going to take some time, but these demons... Have legions of other aliens that are involved with this kind of manipulation. Basically, there's enough of them to inhabit approximately a third of the human race and to have influence. And that's going to take time because they're learning how to use our nervous systems. There's nothing we can do about it. It's basically no different than a holy guardian angel inhabiting the body and manipulating your awareness outside of your awareness.
So these things are neither good nor evil. They're just happening.
They serve Lucifer.
Okay.
and Lucifer is in communication with me. Lucifer needs something on the other side, and I'm not the only one. There are many other just like me doing the same thing. So it's, I'm not alone here. In fact, this organization is going to be absolutely huge, and I've remote viewed it. It will replace all the great world religions. It's had a very rough start. It was unnecessary that we should have this kind of trouble starting this up. But you know, you can expect it when you look at all the programming out there. When you look at all the people that are afraid of this, and they shouldn't be.
Well, it's really interesting because here in the United States, one of the founding, you know, and you're in the United States right now as well, right?
Yes.
Here in the United States, one of the founding things about this country was freedom of religion.
That's what they say.
Yet you find it's not entirely true.
I'm more comfortable in France than I am, and I love France, by the way. In fact, I may be giving up my citizenship for France in the future, but I'm certainly have more freedom there than I do here. I'm more oppressed in the United States, and I'm very sad about our children's future here. I see them going to war, a war that's unjustified. I see them being lied to, and I feel bad for our college students here. I see their tuition rates going sky high. I see they have no voice. No matter who they vote for, they're not going to have a voice in the future elections of any kind. I see them without health care. I see them homeless. I see them going to prison. We're building prisons like crazy in the United States. We don't have health care for our children. We don't have health care for the youth here. I just feel so bad. And so I'm hanging on. I don't want to abandon because I love America. It had a great future. It had a great future. Now we're the most hated nation in the world because we have a Christian, apocalyptic Christian in the White House, who believes in the Armageddon so much, along with his generals, who, by the way, one of them happens to be speaking in uniform, about the evil that we're fighting in the Middle East. And, you know, this is just amazing that we're seeing this in our government today.
Oh, I have a...
Generals should be court-martialed for doing that. That has never happened in history, and it should not happen now.
I'm sick of it.
Now, go ahead, Jennifer.
I'm sick of being lied to. I'm sick of it.
So I'm not welcome in this country, to say the very least. I'm blackballed from its media. I'm very welcome in Europe. I love Europe, and I really love Germany, and I just love France. France treats its children amazingly well. Great health care for the children, great education, great opportunities for the youth. France is a country for our youth, and I really like the way the French people think. And I think America is, well, it's a has-been. It's just not a place for young people, and I'm going to tell you, young people, if I do leave, I'm not going to abandon you, okay? Just pay attention to me in Europe. I'm not going to abandon you. I'll still have temples here in the United States until the wacko Christians close them. But I will hang on to opportunities for you here. Don't worry.
Is World War III a fact, or is it still preventable?
It's preventable.
Okay.
In fact, there's good news with North Korea. North Korea is looking like it might negotiate. And we have been working... Well, I don't want to get into that. But I basically... It looks like we can avert a war between China and the United States. By the way, I want to mention that recently something very damaging was said about China by another remote viewer.
Yeah.
I want to counter what this person said. His name was Ed Dames.
And he said that
China has a secret weapon.
Actually, I heard this live.
I heard it live.
I'm going to tell you that is not true, and I have never been so pissed in my life. That is garbage, and I don't want anyone to think that I had anything to do with that garbage data. First of all, China is a great nation, and it does not have a secret weapons program to destroy our wheat. If anyone, it's going to be Monsanto that destroys our wheat here by shooting animal genes into the plant itself.
It's happened. I mean, every summer they're uncovering new fields of genetically engineered wheat and corn. And
I am so incensed over this. First of all, I don't know where he's getting this wacky data. He's not getting it from me. I haven't been with him for a while, and his predictions have been crap since I have been with him. But that one thing just set me off. I was so angry.
Well, how about
good relations with China, and that's not a good thing for us.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. that's a good one. Jennifer was just mentioning aliens stealing fossil fuels from the...
Oh, what a load of crap. Aliens stealing fossil fuels and oil. It's going to be talking about diesel-powered spacecraft now? What? Why would they be stealing fossil fuels? I can't... Oh, please. I mean, that says it all. But this one thing about China, it's just so terrible because... I don't want a war between China and the United States. Who could possibly want that? I'm going to tell you that if we do get into a war between China, if the United States engages itself militarily with China, it will lose World War III. China will win.
I saw that on your website.
Absolutely, and I stand by that. And there's some crazy technology coming right now that involves geothermal warfare. And China... You know, they're entering the space race right now. They are very, very smart people. And yes, they will back up North Korea. You wouldn't believe the politics going on right now. And we need to be friends with China. And,
China wants to be our friend.
I love the Asian cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe the insanity we're seeing in the United States and the way we're treating China and North Korea. We're treating people in the Middle East like they're subhumans. We're not recognizing their cultures and the importance of their cultures at all. And this whole situation is just out of control, and we need to change this. We need to have a good relation with China. And for Ed Dames to be saying something, you know, Ed claims to have a connection with the CIA. He probably does. I don't know. I've never seen it. If he does, hooray. He may have. He probably had one in the past. But after this, I doubt he'll ever have one again.
Well, the
China does not have a secret weapon program to take out our wheat crops.
Well,
Monsanto,
another thing
has a secret weapon.
Not our meat.
They got our crops. Monsanto, they're destroying.
You guys are crossing a little.
Yeah, you broke on time.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No.
Anyway,
that's not our main staple for our food supply either. In this country, corn is. It's not wheat.
But that's another thing that they have been noticing. They've been uncovering fields of genetically engineered corn as well. So it is happening. I mean, Monsanto and...
Main staple, but it's corn. Corn is a big, big source of our food supply because we feed beef with it. And Americans eat a lot of beef.
Oh, yeah.
But if a wheat crop dies tomorrow, our economy will not die. Absolutely. Our economy does not depend on wheat. That's for sure. And I know where our economy is going to go in the future, and we're not going to have global economical collapse, not at all. That's a load of crap as well.
Well, that's actually good to hear.
Yeah, there are some good things about the future. Now, I like talking about the bad things because I want people to change those things. I don't want to tell people the good things because I don't want them to change that either.
Well, if you tell them that, they're gonna create, they're gonna rationalize a false hope anyways around the good things.
Yes, they will.
A pessimistic viewpoint will always prevail, if you ask me, because I've lived by that my whole life.
Yeah.
And I've always looked for the worst alternative, worst case scenario whatsoever, so I'm prepared for that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, and that's instinctual. That's what we all do. And we always have an ace in our pocket, just in case.
Well, that's what the rationalization, I mean, if I'm following you correctly, the rationalization of the four great religions that believe that we're going to be saved by this wonderful father figure that's going to come down and take us all away and take all our problems away. Therefore, we can just do whatever the hell we want right now, because we're going to be forgiven anyways.
Exactly. Basically, that way of thinking needs to go away. It's not helping us. We need action now. We need people to help now. We need to buy time with our planet. We need to stop destroying it right now.
And there's still time to be able to do that also.
And that's important.
Yeah.
I mean, because in order to buy time, you have to have time to buy. Like, if there's, you know, like, if this was all going to happen in 2004, there probably wouldn't have been enough time.
Absolutely not.
To gather and start the processes going.
Exactly.
Well, okay, speaking of time.
Yes.
One of the greatest races that we're probably on the right track. You know, living in harmony and building the mind, you know, creating the number of minds needed. They were probably doing what was meant to be done. The Mayans, the end of their calendars is evidently, what, 2034, I don't remember exactly, but it's coming up. Is that because of anything, or is that, I mean, is that...
The world would not end in 2014.
Oh, 2014, that's it.
2014?
Okay, so that's not, it's not like the end of the world, it's
no.
just, that's all they had written down, or...
No, not at all.
Okay.
Absolutely. If anything, it's the beginning of the new aeon, and it's when that new aeon really gets going.
Well, do you think maybe that particular year could actually mean anything?
No.
Okay, it's just another year.
That's correct.
Okay. I was wondering that because I've
looked at it extensively, and the Earth doesn't tilt, it doesn't end. There's nothing cataclysmic other than the fact that we have a slow death from human pollution overpopulation. And, you know, and every time you build a home, you stick this grounding rod into the Earth, and you're raising its frequency. And every time you do that, you're changing its resonance. And that's damaging us as well. And every time you buy a cell phone, cell phone towers, this is the unseen pollution, and it's everywhere. Wireless communications, folks, you got to stop it. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. Can you see air? Well, now you can, basically, in L.A. and every major city. Just because you can't see air doesn't mean it isn't there. There's an amazing, and as a psychic and as a sensitive, I have chosen a place to live that is away from all this electromagnetic pollution. I live in a place where you can't build this pollution because of the dynamics of the Earth and the way it is. So this electromagnetic pollution is also killing you, and it's killing the planet, and you need to stop it.
Do you know, that's absolutely fascinating because that fired off a neuron in my mind that... a person that I followed quite, the history of in the writings and things like that is Edgar Cayce. And Edgar Cayce would, he chose to live, I think, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, through, you know, for much of his life, or at least the end of it, because he had, you know, because of what he had foreseen and, you know, while he was sleeping, so he had to read this after he woke up. But when he got his data, basically, he looked at it all, and he's like, Virginia Beach, Virginia is the place to go, and he went there, and of course, now it's just, like, absolutely booming and stuff. I doubt he'd live there now, you know, but he had chosen his place to live based on what he had come up with.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, as a child, I was visited by a brown robe being. I don't know what this thing is to this day. I know it's associated with Lucifer, it's all I know, in South America. And that this brown robe being was with a group of monks associated with some of the older structures in China. It seems to be traveling through time. It's a very old being. It's got wrinkled brown skin. And very kind. And I recall it vividly, taking me to Paris, showing me certain structures. It showed me the very temple. By the way, this is documented. Jennifer, you can describe the temple, how it was documented. Basically, all the things that the brown-robed being has shown me has been documented in a diary. And I'm telling you, look at the picture, and you look at the structure, and this picture was written down several years before, and you'll be amazed at the similarities. Basically, the road signs ahead of heaven. I was shown places and events, major things in the future by this brown robe being. I don't know what the heck it was, but as a child, you go to my website at umo.cc, and you will see a childhood drawing where my autonomic nervous system drew the face of this thing. I was told to draw my family, and so this was an integral part of my family because I couldn't wait to go to bed at night because there was the brown robe being, and it would take me by the hand and show me things, take me all over the earth. Show me people in the future. Show me. It showed me the temple of which I remote viewed the 72 poetic demons. That was probably recently one of the most dramatic things. It showed me Tokyo. It showed me all kinds of things, places where I've been all over recently, as well as places I'm going to be in the future. I'm not going to talk about the stuff I'm going to be doing in the future, but I can talk about the stuff in the past.
By the way, every house you've ever lived in that is like severely haunted. There were always strange things happening around us in every house you've ever lived in. And when you get together with other psychics and being a family of psychics, I mean, we're used to just seeing ghosts and things and weird entities, and it was a common occurrence in our home. growing up.
I know James mentions that on his website, actually. He talks about some of the places that he's moved in with you guys, and that he said it was very peculiar that there was always some type of haunting going on everywhere you guys went.
Oh, that's on the mind of James.
Yeah,
Donahue?
James Donahue's side. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Jennifer, you can speak about the drawing of the temple before.
Yes, I remember Aaron one day was talking about, you know, because Aaron and I sit down and have coffee, you know, when we were, like, living together. And we would sit there and discuss the future. And Aaron would talk to me about future events, and he talked about us being in this place. And he brought down his journal entry and showed me the picture that he drew of this temple. And, of course, I'm going, yeah, whatever, Aaron, you know. Because, you know, you always question things when they're brought to the table, you know. You always question it. So, but, like, a year or two later, I mean, there was no, like, we weren't even thinking about this. There was an opportunity to purchase a building, and we went there, and sure enough, it was the exact drawing that Aaron had shown me, like, 2 years or a year earlier, you know, when we weren't even thinking about this. And when we went there, it was just one of those things. I shuddered when I saw it. And I'll tell you, the thing that was the most unusual thing is that when you walked into this room, there was this, like, weird fire door that, like, was up in the right or the left upper corner of the room. And it was this giant metal iron door, like, on the ceiling, basically. And there's, and it was such an unusual thing. Aaron, that was the thing Aaron drew in his data, or in his drawing. And I had seen that. It was the most amazing thing. I mean, Aaron never ceases to amaze me, really.
No. Not us either, so.
Yes. Well, there's, what's amazing is the fact that this is finally getting out, and that people will begin to learn about Lucifer. Now, you know, the initial shock is going to be, oh, you know, it's going to take my soul, you know.
that heathen, we should be kicking his spiritual ass.
Well, there's everybody.
You wouldn't believe the emails I'm getting. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm going to post more hate mail on my website. I have some doozies out there. Everything from, I'm going to be killing you for Christ, you heathen devil worshiper. And people think I'm sucking blood out of their babies and that, you know, that sort of thing. And yet, you know the sad thing about this? I could be finding missing children.
Well, you know,
I have yet to receive one request for it by a parent. Where's a missing child? Yeah, I'm the best in the world.
As a matter of fact, the one...
I'm the best in the world at finding missing people.
I believe the one time you were asked to find a truly missing person, was that for the TV Asahi?
More than once, yeah. I found on TV Asahi, I located a woman in Tokyo. Now, if you've ever been in Tokyo, and we're talking, I found her exact location. And this is documented live on film. And there are no street numbers. In fact, cab drivers get lost in Tokyo. If there's ever a test for a psychic, Tokyo would be the ultimate test. And I'm the first person ever to use remote viewing to locate a person exactly. I found her exact apartment.
Wow.
In Tokyo.
It's amazing.
Remote viewed her location. I didn't know where she was or who this woman was in Los Angeles, California.
I'd like to emphasize something here. Me and Aaron both worked on that, and it was just me and Aaron. No one else worked on that.
Oh.
Just to kind of give you a hint.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were other people involved with that, and they did very little.
I understand what you mean. this particular thing.
There have been some drinking involved, you know what I mean?
We aren't going to name any names.
And it's some other people from actually remote viewing it.
You know what's interesting? We were talking about hate mail. And I hate to get off that because that was a successful, you know, thing. But you were talking about hate mail. While we've been on the air, and we're still on the air, I had gotten a message from the chat rooms that we're in.
Yeah.
And a fellow had said, and I don't know if this person's still listening or not.
Sure.
I thought this was a good time to bring it up.
Yeah.
Maybe not. There's an occult message board, and you know what? This I get the feeling more it's of an inside joke between you and this person.
This is somebody that I know.
Most likely, yes.
Yeah, it's an inside joke between you and this person. That's why I didn't mention it on the actual show. But there's an occult message board where evidently there's a message saying that you're a wanted person. Yeah. For like what, drug running or no,
sure.
Gun running or something? I don't remember exactly, but I thought that was...
No, that
yeah, that sounds like you, Aaron.
Some of this stuff, like, because we get emails too, you know, and some of it we're like, you know, okay, this is obviously an inside joke, but we're...
It's not even an inside joke, it's just basically someone who's whacked.
Okay.
Thousands of emails from a wacko.
So a lot of the stuff that we hear are just, like, these bizarre people who...
Oh, yeah. I think they're, yeah.
Are stars, you know, trying to start rumors or become famous.
Oh, sure,
you know,
sure. Yeah, gun running, that's a good rumor. They should say something more creative.
Well, I didn't understand.
Out of that one, I mean, gun running? Wow.
Well, now, this person's defense, there wasn't them who purported this. They were just saying that there's a website, you know, that says, you know, so you obviously get all kinds of...
Well, you know, another thing that Aaron has been publicly stated about Aaron is that Aaron is unstable.
Oh, yeah, mentally unstable. That's
and, I mean, you heard Aaron tonight on the radio. I mean, I think he's pretty sane, don't you?
Well, I've spoken with Aaron, obviously, on the radio, and I've also spoken with him after the show last time for hours on end.
Yeah.
At no point did I ever question his sanity. Sure, I questioned my own beliefs because... Because of what you're saying. You're saying a lot of heavy stuff, right? A lot of stuff that goes against my own programming, you know, because I've grown up in this society as well. And so I question my own beliefs, and I've tried to fit what you're saying into my own systems of knowledge and my own information system here. And so I mean, I've been, you know, doing a lot of heavy balancing and rotating and moving around within my own head. But I've never thought... As a matter of fact, I've been of the opinion from day one, pretty much what I said on the main show. I said, this is all fact. This has been seen. This will, you know, this is either, you know, happened or will happen or is happening because you've seen this through this new remote viewing structure,
practical application of non-historical data, or PAN.
Yeah, PAN, through PAN. And so this is fact. It, sure, and that's why I asked about World War III as well, other than we were also talking about it.
Well, yeah, and it's easy for people to dismiss me as being insane, and that is not a new one. It doesn't bother me a bit. It's just sad that someone like Ed Ames would do something like that. Perhaps so we do see the universe as we actually are. After all, according to Aldous Huxley.
But you've got to get you must deal with a lot of interesting folks, is all I can say, because I've seen only a little bit of it, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people who hate me now, and like Ed Ames, there's a lot of people who are insanely jealous of my abilities.
Well, you know,
say things that will you just I have to take it. It's basically humorous. It's funny. I have to look at it from that perspective, and the best humor is yourself. You can laugh at yourself. You're all set.
Based on the interview that I heard with Ed Ames, I don't want to talk about him very much, but I do have to say this. I understand from what he was saying, because he didn't out and out say it because they didn't ask the question, but it seems like there's him at the top of this some kind of structure, and I don't mean physical structure, I mean corporate structure kind of thing.
No,
and there's
actually,
these worker bees.
Intelligence agency.
And there's these worker bees, and the worker bees actually do the remote viewing.
That is correct. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, the students do the remote viewing. He doesn't. No, it's correct.
He doesn't do it.
Okay.
That's true.
He's different now, but back when I was with him.
And he promises you all these things if you help him, and it never happens. It's never comes true. It's kind of a scam or a lie. I'll say it. He's a liar.
Well,
I've seen him lie. I've seen it.
Well, you have to be careful because people like this will sue you, and that's what they do when they defend themselves. I don't believe in suing anybody. In fact, I have grounds for suing Ed Ames. I have grounds for suing all kinds of people, but I, you know, like Joni Dorff. But I don't care. I'm not going to stoop to their level. I'm not.
No.
But you get.
But we can be angry about it. We're just, you know.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I don't want to get into that bit where there's going to be legal problems.
Right.
Basically,
well,
the truth is the truth. Ed Ames did use my data for years, and I have received credit for it, but not as much as I should have. And I've moved on. The guy was a great teacher. He really is a good teacher.
He really is. That is true. If you really want to learn about
him,
he's
a great
teacher.
I'm a Luciferian. Those two things are probably never going to change. I know in his part, he'll never change. I'm never going to change.
Well, not him specifically, but other people. And this has to do with Luciferianism, of course. Why are people so close-minded? Is it all fear-based? Because obviously, you know, the first thing you said it yourself earlier is the first thing people think is, oh, they're going to take my soul and things like that. But, and that's all just fear instilled from them in them, in folks, including me. I mean, I have that panic attack as well.
You have to look at fear this way. It's a great teacher. The one that can break your heart is also a great teacher. But fear is one of the greatest teachers of all. And if you don't learn your lesson, you're going to get exactly that which you fear. You can subvert some of the negative side effects of this if you learn your lesson early on, if you catch up on the game. But if you don't learn your lesson, you will always get what you fear. And America right now is a fearful society. And it fears terrorism so much, it's going to create it. It's going to happen. It's going to get exactly what it fears the most. And if we understand this, we can do something about many of these negative effects of fear. But fear is basically a good thing. It teaches us a great thing. And to accept fear is the best way to overcome it.
Then there's a difference between fear and closed-mindedness.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people that you have had to deal with are, even though they're psychic remote viewers or acclaimed for having been...
Well, whether they're closed-minded or not, they just have to look at my data and look at my work, and it stops right there.
Yeah.
Basically, anyone who thinks I'm a fraud, just look at my work, look at my data, look at my history and what I've done, look at what I've done in public media, on television. You can't.
Right, you can't argue with that.
It really does, and it doesn't speak for me as much as it does for all of us. Because I want to say this: anyone can learn this. Everyone is inherently psychic, and I want to tell everyone out there that you can do this. You're not excluded from this. You have to learn how to do this, and you have to practice. It's very, very hard work.
How do they do that? Do they buy a book by Joe McGonigal? Do they? I mean, what?
You know, like Joe. Poor guy. I really like him. And he's a great psychic. Yeah. Joe's wonderful. Now that's on the TMI side, but you know, the Monroe Institute, they're not really catching up with the times. They're kind of falling away. But that's unfortunate. Joe, you know, he's older. So, he's a great psychic. He's done a great job, you know. What can I say about this guy? And I also feel sorry for Ed Ames, but I have to say this about pity. If you read William Blake in the book In Your Eyes, and you find the hungry wolf howling at the wintry door. Now, pity is very much like this. It's better to be hated than to be pitied. Because if you let that wolf in, you see, it will eat you. So we have to watch from afar and see its pity and just see how sad it is.
I believe a friend of yours has a question for you.
Yes.
Now, I'm not certain that this person, because everything in a chat room is all nicknames, and I'm not certain that this person is Vance. Do you know Vance?
Yes, I do. Vance. Hey, Vance.
that's Vance of Trinity.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Vance. Yes, I wanted to let, Trinity Science.
Yeah, TrinityScience.com.
Yes, and Vance, by the way, is a very, very good remote viewer. This guy is one of the best. He is well accomplished and practical application of non-historical data, so much so that he's actually winning a lot of... Now, I've seen his stuff documented, and there are people all over the world that are sending me emails thanking me for the formula, and they're applying it because they understand it, and they're winning lotteries. Now, that's a formidable force that'll eventually be going to Wall Street and to the Nikkei and to the FTSE and so on. They'll be going there, and they'll be applying these techniques to invest. You see, and but I want it done slowly, because I don't want to crash the system. You see, I want to enhance the system, and I want to influence the system positively. I want to turn this into an eco-friendly system of commerce, not one that's involved with rampant greed and wanton destruction of our ecosystem for profit. This is why I'm releasing the information slowly. There are two formulas. I've given the first half. And that first half is so powerful that people can win simple lotteries. Now, Vance is an exceptional remote viewer. He really is smart. heart and picked up a lot of the clues that I dangled out there for people like Vance to put these things together in such a way to actually see future numbers. I congratulate people like Vance, especially you, Vance. Thank you for your work. It's you know, we have a great deal to learn from this guy because he, too, is advancing the practical application of non-historical data. And one day we're all going to gather and see what information we've come up with and different techniques for accessing this information. So all the power to you, Vance, and congratulations. Now everyone else is going to know about it.
I have a feeling TrinitySites.com is being hammered at the moment. But what happens is he, I don't know if this is particularly Vance because everything, like I said, is all nicknames. And
is his name, Vance. I can feel it. It's him. I can feel you, Vance. Cool.
But another person had asked, I don't know if it's Vance or not, but said, who, the 111 folks, right?
Do that again.
Are they, those 111 people, the 100 men, 11 women?
Yes.
Are they already chosen? Are they all, you were talking about a list earlier?
The door is still open because I'm just beginning to train the 100 men.
Okay. And then,
the women, it's over there. We have, that's a secret. I will never talk about them.
Okay.
They're the most powerful women on this planet. They know everything. They're as close to Lucifer as they could be. I'm the closest to Lucifer. They're second in line. Nobody touches the 11 women. It's a matriarchal system,
mm-hmm.
not patriarchal. Those women decide your future and what you're going to think in the future.
Wow. Okay. And also Yellowstone.
Yes. Yellowstone. Okay. I wanted to reserve this for the George and Ori show.
Well,
I'll give you a hint.
Okay. Yeah, give us a cliffhanger. That'll be awesome. Although you already know I'm
the data in my hand. It's quite dramatic, and I'm going to tell you that something does happen, and I know when.
Ooh, are you going to say that on Coast to Coast?
Yes, I'm going to describe this Yellowstone incident in detail and what it means for our future crop supply, our crops, the way it'll influence our crops, if it does at all. And I will describe whether or not people have to be evacuated, if at all, from the area. And is it a threat to human life or not? I know these answers.
Ooh, that sounds
goodness.
Really ominous. You know, well, I'm already going to be listening.
Yeah, we're both going to be listening.
So, you know, we're booked already. We're sure people, we're going to be listening to that broadcast. But and I know there's a lot of people on our list now. They're like, oh, me too. But and of course the time frame for just to clarify, the time frame for the terrorism in the United States, the bomb.
I'm not going to, and there's a reason for this. Okay.
Well, I
not at all going to be because
that question, by the way, was
that don't understand remote viewing at all. They don't understand psychic function. They don't even believe in it. They're going to find some sort of way of thinking that I knew something about the incident, so I have to protect myself legally.
And they're going to try
morons.
Okay, yeah, I understand.
Anyways.
And also, you had previously said in, you know, when we were talking about it, but I'm just clarifying, you previously said it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter because it's going to happen.
It's
I'm just going to tell you ahead of time it's going to happen. That way you can be relieved to know that it's a done deal.
Yeah, and there's nothing...
There's nothing we can do about it. They're not going to be stopped in their tracks, and they're going to get away with it. And they're not going to be bombing large places like stadiums or things like that. There may be a few nutbags out there that will try to do it, and they might get away with a couple. Who knows? But for the most part, the most significant bombings, the most successful bombings involve small places like nightclubs and restaurants,
mm-hmm.
outings. It's, the idea is terror.
See,
they don't know when they're going to strike or what part of the country.
Yeah.
This is absolutely terrifying to Americans.
Well, this is the kind of stuff that they've already been doing in, like, Bali, and, you know, the Bali nightclub, or is it Malawi? I don't remember, but the nightclubs out in Indonesia.
Well, many of those had specific assassination. There was a clear intent to assassinate certain people in those instances, whereas this is a random assassination attempt.
Oh, okay.
These are random assassinations.
So this is pure terrorism.
Pure terrorism at its worst. There's nothing at all we can do about it. Folks, it's coming. You're going to have random bombings, and there's nothing you can do about it because your intelligence community doesn't know how to stop it, and it will never be able to stop it. Look, just created the situation. We have to reap what we have sown.
Is terrorism a pre-extinction mechanism, or is?
Well, you bet it is. Okay. These people are starving. You got the water wars in the Middle East, dwindling natural resources. We're fighting over oil. Don't kid yourself. It's not over weapons of mass destruction. They don't exist.
It's been
never
proven
did.
Already.
Yeah, they're every day they're coming up with nothing.
Yes,
so.
It's been proven already.
Yeah, and don't be surprised. Just to save face, something is planted there. Who knows? But it's a dismal failure for us. That war is a dismal failure. We've lost the new Vietnam. We've lost it. It's total chaos in the Middle East now, and it's spreading everywhere. Now we have Palestinians attacking us. And, and the Israelis are using the American aggression as a model.
Yep.
And they're stirring up more problems there, too. What were you going to say, Jennifer?
Oh, nothing. I was just going to say something about Israel. Israelis are no help in this situation.
By the way,
perpetuating it, and it's
Jews are not the chosen people. The Ethiopians are the pink ones. They're not the chosen people. Hitler's people, they were not the chosen people. Napoleon didn't have the chosen people. The Aryan nation here, not the chosen people either. Look, we are all chosen. There is no chosen race but one race of being, all of us, collectively. One race of being. We need to get together. We need a single world government. We need to stop isolating ourselves. We've got to get together now and solve a global problem. This is our only hope. We need a single world banking system. We need a single world government. We need centralization. We need to recognize ourselves as one people on one planet, which now...
Abolish religion.
What's completely fascinating about that is that a lot of that, and I think we talked about this after the show last time, a lot of that actually sounds very Star Trek. And I'm not saying that this came out of Star Trek. I'm saying that this Star Trek, the ideal, and that's just what that came out of the brain of Gene Roddenberry, mm-hmm. doing creative writing, trying to be a writer, you know, that kind of stuff. And somehow he nailed it on the head that, you know, eventually we are going to have a, you know, everyone's going to have to be equal. Everyone's going to have to be, you know, their own person and think for themselves. There's not going to be money. There's not going to be, or there's going to be one kind of governing body, but it's not the kind that goes in and, you know, stops you from, you know, pulling.
The mystery of 666 and the mystery of the so-called beast, and there are three beasts. The third beast in the mystery of 666 does involve this one world government, but not in the way that we think. Again, we're programmed to consider this to be an evil thing and some part of some conspiracy by the Illuminati. Not real, folks. That's just totally way off.
On that.
Oh, I don't know.
It is a process.
Scott L's been reading up about the Illuminati,
doing a lot of reading on the Illuminati.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a very strange story about, I don't want to keep you for too long here because I'm going to be going here soon.
Yeah.
I have a strange story that you're going to find fascinating. Of course, people who know me personally know of my occult background. I've been everywhere. And basically, before joining the OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, I was contacted by, I don't want to say the name, but basically I had a mentor involving a 33rd degree from England. England side of the Masons are basically a cult. The American side is kind of brain dead.
It's a big club, basically.
Good old boys, you know. It's nothing like. There's nothing spiritual there.
Right, but at the same time, they do a lot of good stuff too. I mean, the kids, and you know, they do a lot of.
They certainly do, but they were part of the magnum opus, or supposed to be. Now, this is the old Aeon order, and it's dying out. And good, they've done a good job. It's time for them to let the young lions take over. The new order, I'm not going to give you its true name, but I'm going to call it Third Order. I was contacted by someone from England who had initiated me into something. Okay, I think people can put it together.
Okay.
Basically, he had told me, look, Aaron, you have an ability to heal people. You have an amazing ability to diagnose people. You need medicine. At the time, I was interested in psychological and endocrinology, this undergrad major, in preparation for psychology, after medical school, I'd continue in research, and I applied to get a fellowship in 2015, so on and so on. So the connection was Graham and Hal, this is associated with a large company. This fellow happened to be my mentor for the longest time. One night, gave me a call, Aaron, maybe you're going to agree to 3 days, and you're going to marry her. And I'm going to tell you, don't marry her because you're going to forfeit medical school in the whole world. You're going to forfeit all those things that you're supposed to be doing. You're going to have to all this. They treated 3 days. I thought it was a cheese off this crap. Okay, it obviously sounds really spooky, but well, that's really weird. In 3 days, I just forgot about 3 days. I know this one. After the marriage, she said yes. Years into the day that I met her, she divorced me without cause. And that was the day I was accepted to fight to have a date.
Wow.
Yes.
The acceptance has played a really intricate role in all of our lives. I don't want to make them. I feel bad for the guy too.
He's influenced by some bad things
That's true.
Marriage would probably help her.
You're interconnected with things we're talking about the, everything is an information system. Is there a reason that these bizarre things happen? Because
I want to get into the bizarre thing.
Okay.
And then this, I know you have this question. I'm sorry.
No,
I keep pushing you back. On third order, and I can only tell you that's what it is so far, okay? There is no Illuminati, but there is something else. Now, I'm a low man on the totem pole, and nothing. I'm just sort of a spokesman for something, okay? You get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
This particular thing was involving an initiation, and it was a 7-year initiation for me. 7 drops of blood from the cup of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
There's no blood left from the magus, no blood left from the magician. And then he's cast in the abyss. And if he survives his journey, then he is rewarded with essentially a child, so to speak. Anyway, so daughter Babylon the Beautiful. That's a whole esoteric thing. It's a type of mythology that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this particular case, I had a fella who many years prior to this had told me, Aaron, I got something to tell you. He said, and he described himself as a white brother, part of the brotherhood. And he said, I got something to tell you. And he gave me the psychic stuff. There's no way he could know it. Basically, he told me that where I kept my mother's baby tooth because I wanted to keep her DNA because I knew in the future that she would pass on and I wanted to reformulate her. And I had been keeping her tooth since I think 11 or 12 years old in a special box. And he knew about this. Nobody on earth knew about this. He knew about it and told me about that. So that made him legitimate in some way in my book. This guy told me, he said, Aaron, I have one message to give you. He said, you'll be entering the third level soon. He went to a Greek restaurant, bought my favorite dinner, and they treated me like a king there. He paid for it and left. He didn't even eat. He only had that one thing to tell me. Many, many years prior to my initiation into TL. So once I went through the initiation, I was given an offer at the moment. I was told... at this moment, I was told that, okay, I got this phone call. Aaron, come over here for dinner. You and your prospective bride, come over here for dinner. And that's when I realized this guy was dead on right. Exactly 3 days to the mark, I met this woman, asked her to marry me. She said yes.
Wow.
And there for dinner with a good doctor, he told me, he said, Aaron, you now have the whole world being offered to you. Medical school, the best internship and residency. You're going to be having a career that will blow everyone's mind. You will have wealth and status and everything you could possibly imagine. And here it is, you're throwing it away for this woman you don't even know. And I said, immediately I said to the good doctor, I said, I realize you've been my mentor and my teacher for years. And I have to say that I choose love over the world. And he said, good. I will see you in two places, once at my death and once at your wedding. And so basically he went to my wedding, and we were wed, and 7 years had passed, 7 drops of blood from the cup of Babylon, and I was divorced without any, it was a beautiful marriage. I loved her madly. There was never any problems, no ironic foreshadowing of any kind, no marriage counseling, anything. 7 years today, cold-blooded lawyer. That's it. Will you contest the divorce? I was never given a reason for this divorce. To this day, I don't know why she did it. Family was wealthy, you know, the whole thing. So basically, I gave her everything, all the property. Everything was given. I didn't care. I had just taken a vow of poverty shortly before I was divorced, against my will, mind you, because I was in love with her. And I was never given a reason why she did it. I was not allowed back on the property, and I was told to leave. And I did. I left the state for Sedona, Arizona, where I meditated. And I left from there for the Monroe Institute, where I prepared for SciTech, where I completed that course successfully and was filmed there. Everything just took off from there. Basically, while I returned back to Sedona after remote viewing with Ed Dames and SciTech, a man came up to me and put his hand on my shoulder. And he wouldn't let me stand up. He just bent over because I was crouched down looking at some batteries and for my tape layer. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he wouldn't let me get up. And it kind of frightened me because he was a big galoot, you know, well dressed, looked like he had a holster, he looked like a G-man. He had a crew cut. Drove one of those Crown Victoria cars, you know, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what the? He said, welcome to Third Order. Congratulations.
So.
And then he got up. He just left, and not another word. I was stunned. And I realized that I'd been had. I had been initiated. This order, whatever it is, had to choose a person who would choose love over the world no matter what. And they knew that I loved her unconditionally, even after she had done that to me. Without, you see, love is severe. And you see, that's how I got into whatever this is. But I don't know. I really don't know what it is. I just know it's worldwide and it's huge. And it's part of our future. We're the young lions. The old Masonic orders, they're the old lions. They've done a great job. They're passing on. The order is dying. And the new order will take over.
So that 7 years, it obviously wasn't then a waste. It was a test?
A test and initiation.
Ah.
I explored the world of the occult. I got into the occult deeply in those 7 years and learned immense things. Basically, as a psychic, I learned all the secrets of all the mystery schools that I could find that I thought had been legitimate. And I found that there was one secret that tied all of the mystery schools together. You know, when you get into their inner temple, into the inner core of their greatest secret, you know what you find when you open that vault?
No, I think I'm not supposed to know. I mean, they hide it.
Find nothing.
Oh.
That's the point of it. The point of life, again, you see how we circle around in this interview, is eternal seeking. The meaning of life is the eternal seeking. The mystery is the thing that draws the moth to the flame. And you think of that thing in your body with wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think of that thing in your body with wings, the angel. I'm going to draw the human race to the flame. The mystery of Lucifer is something that we inherently cannot resist. And those wings are going to burn off, my friends, and you're going to lose that crap inside your body, and you're going to wake up and you're going to be free. Whether you like it or not, you're going to leave the nest. We're adults now. We need to take our planet back. So basically, the mystery that draws you to that inner sanctum is like the trip across the river Ganges. It's just the same as it was when you started. You find nothing when you open that vault. So here's what I have to say will shock all these people. The greatest of all secret is not a secret at all. The greatest of all secrets is no secret. And that's precisely where it hides. That is the inner core secret of all the mystery schools that have ever existed or will ever exist in the future. It is the mystery that draws you. The point of life is eternal seeking. The meaning of life is eternal seeking, not the answer. That's why science is so important. We need to use science now to begin to understand and to bridge the gap between what we need to know and Lucifer. Oh, and I need your help. I need help from people all over the world who are the best at what they do. I need mathematicians. I'm just beginning to train the 100 men. I want the best and brightest in the world to learn this. Because our planet is dying, we don't have a choice. If you don't know, and if you can't feel the planet dying, perhaps you don't even have a soul. Who knows?
Well, I don't know.
I don't want those kind of people in the order. I don't know
how anybody could miss it.
Yeah. I'm beginning to wonder. There are people that are missing it, that are denying it, but it's pretty hard to miss now. You're right.
Well, you can still go to Home Depot and get a green tree and plant it in your fake grass, and, you know, therefore it looks like nothing's wrong.
And therefore, yeah, you've done, ooh, look, I did all my good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I could go on and on about the species which are disappearing in front of us, our coral reefs, the dying oceans, the polluted air. I could go on and on about our dying ecosystem. There's just too much to talk about. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. But the one thing that will get better is our understanding of who we are and where we are from. Bombing the cradle of civilization and those very important museums that we had in Iraq, which was once called Ur, you see. Ur was once a city where the Epic of Gilgamesh was thought to have been written. And the Epic of Gilgamesh describes the fall of man. When man destroys the god of nature, man destroys itself. And you know, this is where Abraham had existed and had left Ur. Why? Because the people of Ur had destroyed its environment, and they were starving to death. Their water was gone, and everything was polluted. And Abraham left Ur because of it. His journey was to teach people the true covenant, and the covenant involved our return to Eden. It involved the fact that we needed to have a balance between us and the environment and the God within us. We needed to connect up with it again. And those people of Ur had forgotten that, but Abraham left with the story of Ur to teach us what not to do, and we have repeated this over and over again. We are now destroying our environment globally in the way that the people of Ur destroyed its environment. So now, we have a choice to make. Are we going to allow ourselves to go extinct, or are we going to do something about this? And transplanting our consciousness into a computer matrix of some kind, these liquid cells, that's not a solution, because you lose your soul, and when you're there, you know you're in hell. These people are begging to die. If you don't believe me, just remote view it. Go into their matrix. They'll communicate with you, and you'll get this horrible feeling of dread and doom, of monotony, of insanity. They are begging to die. A lot of these EVP things coming through, you see, are people that can't quite get the message through, but there's a more efficient way to communicate with some of these beings locked in. They're warning us. They're begging us to die. They're warning us not to go down the path that we're going. They don't want us to make these machines. So they know they can access us, and they remember the remote viewers that were warning them. That's the amazing thing about this is I had contact with one person in that, or one thing in that. There's not even a person.
Right, they have
computer program.
Yeah.
And they know who I am. They know about my influence in the future, and they're giving me advice of how to change what I'm doing in order to have a better effect. Isn't that bizarre?
Well, these entities though that are in there, because they're not.
They were once human beings, but they're now without bodies.
Yeah, former
holographic projections of a life.
These things are.
They know they have no soul.
They're insane. I mean, wouldn't they? they're not...
They're in hell, and they entered the Matrix because they feared losing their bodies in the first place, because our ecosystem crashed so quickly, they had to transfer their consciousness into this, and the problem is we didn't have all the bugs worked out in programming, so they're living with all those glitches.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture.
Another question from the Internet.
Yeah.
And that actually kind of relates to a question that I had come up with. First, my question, because I'm here. the other religions, like there's the four major religions. There's other ones. There's a lot of them here in the United States.
Any of them, yeah.
Well, some of them are fairly natural. For example, I personally know a lot of Wiccans.
Yeah, I was going to say the Wiccans. I was going to give you a critique of the Wiccan movement. The Wiccans are not very happy with me for the most part, because I'm not fluffy. I don't steal Earth energy to create magic. There isn't much energy left. The Earth is dying. Many of the Wiccans that I talk to are so wrapped up in their tree-hugging and white witchcraft that it just basically, these are old rituals, and I'm going to say this to the Wiccans of the world. The old rituals are black. You know nothing. Your Earth is dying, and you don't even know that. What are you doing? Cut it out.
And then the Tao
Amen.
The Tao Te Ching. That was the question from the Internet.
The what?
I
Oh, the I Ching, yes.
I don't know. He says...
Let's see here.
Please ask Aaron about the thoughts on the... It's Tao Te Ching. T-A-O space D-E space C-H-I.
Oh, the guy who built the Great Wall?
I have no idea.
Are you referring to the? Okay, I know what this person is talking about. Look, this goes back to. I think I know what this person is talking about. This goes back to the red cloaked being that the Hopi speak about.
Oh, okay.
This is this may be relative to that. I may be mistaken, but there's an entity that had existed in China. Centuries ago, a human being who had been genetically manipulated, basically, he had a fantastic breakdown of his bicameral mind, very much like the Christ. Christ was a man with breakdown of his bicameral mind. He was genetically manipulated by our progenitor. That's right. Christ was basically created by the one you call Lucifer. Christ himself referred to himself as the sun in the morning,
yeah.
Morning star. I'm sorry, not this morning.
He
referred himself as the morning star. The morning star is Venus, Lucifer.
Morning star.
So that's scriptural. Anyway, but I don't want to get into that thought, because the Bible's full of holes, as you've already guessed.
Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So the Tao Te Ching is just another.
I want to ascertain exactly what this person is talking about. What is their specific question?
Well, that
I think it relates to an. To a particular enlightened one of the East.
Well, unfortunately, they haven't clarified, so we'll just leave it.
Yeah, because I need a specific question. I mean, what is their question about?
I'll tell you what, whoever asked that,
you can email Aaron at his website.
Email Aaron or email us, and we'll pass it on.
I don't.
Because
there's something very important about the East and the prophetic idea of. The red cloak being coming from the East and basically burning, you know, the United States to an ember. I think that refers more to an idea of China winning World War III, and we don't want that to happen.
Right, and that is
the United States to become friends. We want peace in the world. We want people to stop propagating and having children. We want people to pay attention to their ecosystem. We don't buy time. And although most people are going to die between now and the next 300 years until there's nothing left, we need a remnant of the human race to survive. We need approximately 150,000 people to maintain genetic diversity. And that's what I'm looking for. And those people will be chosen. Like it or not, that's the way it is. We have to survive. That's what we're going to do. But our environment's changing. We don't have the technology to convert from a carbon-based unit to a silicon-based unit yet. But with help from our progenitor, we might be able to do this. We might be able to change ourselves into something that can accommodate the new environment, basically without water on the planet. So we'll see.
And it's all happening. Whether I know I don't like it, but it's happening.
It's happening, and we created it. We're responsible for it. So can you blame the programming for extinction? Can you blame some of the angels? I mean, there's a war over us, and I would say that the experiment has been a failure.
Not good.
I'm speechless.
I'll tell you what. Let's close the show. Because I'm getting really weary.
Okay.
And I'm getting
I understand that there's so much more to talk about. We'll get it next time.
Yeah, I'm getting so many.
Yeah, I filled your head with and your listeners with so much information that and please, the person who emailed I didn't quite get the name. I want you to email me. You can contact me at umo.cc. If you're referring to the entity that I'm thinking about, I want to contact you, and I want to tell you something about this entity, especially if you're from China.
Well, I think it's a little different. I think it's actually a methodology, because the person has clarified it as being how the monks preserve life. So it sounds more like a ritual or something. But all that can be handled through email, you guys. I am absolutely burnt.
I am.
Okay.
And, I am sitting here just smoking right now. not cigarettes, smoking.
I'm steaming. I know. I have to say, Aaron.
Night is young. I'm actually going to be working with Pan tonight after this, because I have something very important to do, which involves some timeline. So and also some investment. So.
Well, we're extremely very much looking forward to hearing from you on the Coast to Coast AM.
Yeah, that's going to be a very exciting event.
Perhaps in the future we'll give out some lottery numbers when Jennifer and I get something geared up.
Well, that would be really interesting, and you know what's interesting?
That'll get in the news.
You know what's interesting about that? And here's, because I don't want to close now, I want to tell you this. what's interesting about that is, things like that, while at the surface they seem, you know, like, you know, they are obviously very dramatic, you know, and things like that, and prove to me this and prove to me that, and everyone's, you know, running around. But underneath the surface of that particular kind of event, a lottery show kind of thing, right? Underneath the surface is everything that you've been saying. And everything you've been saying, you've said, anybody can do this.
That's right.
It's really here. These things are happening, like it or not. Lucifer is there. It's just all here. And you can prove it to yourself, right? And you've given us some clues on the show, looking into your heart, training the neural network in the heart. To talk to the neural network in the head, you know, these kinds of things. You've given us clues. It's all here. It's really here. Sometimes, though, you know, being human beings, we need to be slapped in the face with reality. and something like, and of course, we're going to be slapped in the face with reality with the terrorism. But at the same time, something like that is something that people know. People can go to the store. You know, I mean, that people have bought lottery tickets.
Oh, yes.
And people have
finding numbers too. They're learning it all over the place.
And these are things that people know, and people can, you know, say, this is a fact. This happened to me. That, you know, that Aaron was on. He said this, and look what happened. It's all here. For what more do I need to really open up and listen?
Look at the earth. It's dying.
Yeah.
We need to. And, you know, there's so much beauty in life. We need to pay attention to it, and we need to transmit the beauty right now, because your days are numbered.
Non-participation.
Non-participation.
That's going to be a lot to practice, but it's necessary.
I think I've already proven by my journal entries on the Ghostly Talk website that I do not participate in any way possible. So, Aaron, I think we're doing very well.
I'm doing my part for telling everyone about it, and thank you for letting me do it.
No. Thank you, Aaron.
It's our pleasure.
And Jennifer, it's fantastic meeting you. This is the first time we got to talk.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yes. Could you guys stay on the line for a couple more minutes? We're going to close the show out, but I want to keep you guys on the line for a couple more minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to say. Thank you, Ron, for your email. I'm getting hundreds of emails about this non-participation. And in this particular email, here's the tone. Ron, thank you very much. He said it very well. He said, what use to engage in a system? I'm reading an email right now. What use to engage in a system so completely rigged by the controllers? where is the hope for a better world when its people are actively engaged in ritual slaughter of their state-declared enemies? What foolishness to support a political party made of money-mongering, egomaniacal, material-bound cretins whose only hope for humanity is to increase the power of their manifest holdings on this plane of manifestation. So this is an email from a person, Ron, thank you, and it goes on, and he's really showing the contempt he has for the system. I don't want to shed this kind of light on this person, but basically he's like all of us. We know something is wrong, and we're very angry about what's being done.
Yes.
To our futures, and we are the young, and we're not going to take it, and we're going to stop participating. We need a name for this movement, which is already people aren't voting anymore. Guess why?
It makes no difference.
It makes no difference.
Happening. We need a name for the movement, and we just look at Gandhi. Look at my remote viewing data. I'm going to post it on my website prior to the Nori Show. Look at my data and look at Gandhi and just see that. This is our future. Non-participation is how we make a change for our children and for the planet.
Absolutely.
By the way, thank you, Sandra, for all your support and everything. You're great. And
too.
Yeah. And Jennifer, thank you for showing up to the show. And thank you both for letting us talk to you here. It was very interesting. And I hope you'll have us back on the show, and we'll blow your minds again with some
absolutely
number data.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt, we will talk about that for sure.
And also the progress, because this stuff is happening now. And the movements are starting. The people are not voting. People are not are already not participating. Hopefully, you know, it will escalate, and we'll have something else to talk about. You know, I mean, well, we've got tons. We didn't cover probably 90%.
We probably of what we wanted to talk
about. Oh, much more. You have no idea.
Exactly. But I mean, also as a progress report of what people are, or in this case, aren't doing, would be called for. It would be
absolutely
very interesting to see what impact
absolutely
this has. So
there'll be impact. I'll get death threats and all.
We will too.
Yeah, I think we're bounding on that right now.
Yeah, we're
post all the death threats and stuff on the hate mail section. You'll enjoy them. People will see it. You know,
we've already had
an idiot for a president, President Bush, who's an absolute.
Oh.
He's a bonehead. This guy, his mouth hangs open. He has a blank stare in his eye. This is a world leader.
Do you know what? I want to close the show with a really interesting thing, and help me with this.
You got the best security in the world.
I was
someone like me, you know. I don't have much security.
I was listening to a prominent psychic lady.
Yeah.
And she predicts that it's something exact opposite of what you had said to us privately after the show.
She's not a remote viewer, and she doesn't know Pan, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the cause of psychic functioning.
She had said that Bush will be defeated in the upcoming presidential election, and it will be a Democratic president next. And I believe, now I might be wrong, but I thought you had said, no, we're stuck for another 4 years.
Yeah, well, something's. I don't want to talk about this, but.
Oh, okay, well, no.
All right.
But, where Bush is going to be a hero in everyone's mind again.
Okay.
Look, it's going to be a close race. You can't possibly say who's going to win, but I'm going to say that Bush will win this. Now, I tell you what we can do is we can remote view this. I'm saying, as a psychic, I see Bush winning.
Okay.
And a psychic functioning isn't very accurate by itself. It really isn't.
Right.
But if I remote view this and I apply Pan to it, then I will tell you definitively whether or not Bush is going to win. Right now, it's pretty obvious that we have up-and-coming Democratic competitors.
Yeah.
But this is how it waxes and it wanes, and you know, you're going to get another psychic that's going to see Bush in about 3 months from now, who will be perceived as a hero or whatever. And the psychic will say, well, yeah, Bush will be reelected. Yay! You know, and it's just... look, psychics are prone to the moment. They're prone to the first level of information, which is basically very murky. There are four basic levels of information that we have access to, and many of the remote viewers cannot breach the second level. So they get a lot of propaganda and a lot of ideas which are plugged into the collective peripherally. And they're basically knee-jerk reactions, and they can't access higher information systems because the system that they're using will prevent them from going higher. Whereas Pan, I can get into the fourth level of truth instantaneously. And I can tell you on the next show whether or not, I'll tell you what, I'm going to remote view this. I'll post the data on my website, and I'll tell you who's going to be the next president of the United States. But I'll tell you right now, as a psychic, I see Bush winning.
Interesting. So even your psychic abilities are prone to only to this.
I can only go so high into truth with psychic functioning by itself.
So I'm learning something every moment. That's
psychic functioning is not as accurate as people think it is. It's very inaccurate. And it's prone to all kinds of error. Whereas remote viewing is a step up from that, another rung on the ladder. Mm-hmm. But still, it's prone to error. Whereas PAN is yet another rung. And it is prone to the least amount of error. If you look at how I use PAN to access numerical data, sometimes I'll invert a 6 with a 9. That's an error that we get with PAN. And that will be corrected by something that has gone beyond PAN, that maybe we'll learn from someone like Vance or the countless other people using the system to access lottery and future numbers.
Amazing.
We can learn a great deal from these people who are practicing this stuff.
Amazing. Hang on the line. We're going to close the show out.
Thank
you so much, you guys.
You guys stay.
So much more.
There's too much more, but
don't go anywhere. Stay with us for a few more minutes, okay? And, yes, we are going to close the show out here.
Say goodbye, Jennifer. Thanks.
All right. It's been fun. Thanks for having me on.
I didn't think we'd go this long, but I'm very happy we did, actually.
Yeah, I think your listeners will be happy.
Yes.
I'm going to have so many people hating me now. It's just amazing.
That's okay. All right, guys, we're going to close the show out. Aaron, Jennifer, stay on the line. I am Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And this was Ghostly Talk.
Thank you.